This is Tomorrow, There'll Be More of Us, a Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens fanfic, written by Dimir Charmer and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing of Poe Dameron, Finn Rey, which can be read as platonic or romantic, with additional tags for post-movie, stormtrooper culture, stormtrooper defection, Finn helps other stormtroopers, identity issues, title from Hamilton because I am trash of the thing, humor. Inspired by The Story of Finn by Lullaby Nell.
The first one arrives without warning.
The Resistance had relocated from their base on Dakar to another Outer Rim location, some muddy, marsh-ridden puddle of a planet that barely has a name. There's nothing of interest on the planet except a small methane plant half a continent away and a scattering of hand-to-mouth farming communities squashed together on the only ridge of hard rock the planet has to offer. The Resistance base itself is some distance from both of these, half-submerged in the muck, hard to find even if you know where to look. This is why it's a surprise when a short-range first-order transport shuttle crash-lands practically right on their front doorstep. The first thing to emerge from the shuttle when its doors pop open, other than a great deal of smoke, is a standard-issue stormtrooper blaster, tossed underhand to land gently at the feet of the Resistance guards, who are holding their blasters in a distinctly more aggressive grip. The second thing, after the gun, was a voice, thin and scared. "Is this the Resistance?" The patrol looked around at each other. "Yes," said the patrol leader, because it was her job to hold conversations with voices emerging from smoking shuttles, and also to keep her squad from panicking. "Are you going to come out?" There was a moment of silence, before a small pocket of methane gas caught fire with a pop and blew out one of the windows of the shuttle.
"When you're ready," said the patrol leader. "Please don't shoot me," said the voice in the shuttle.
A pair of hands, in soot-covered glossy stormtrooper gauntlets, gripped the edge of the door and pulled the rest of a soot-covered glossy stormtrooper from the wreckage of the shuttle. They didn't shoot. The stormtrooper looked around at the patrol, raised their hands to the side of their helmet, and lifted it off her head. The stormtrooper, cropped black hair, tan skin, an expression of sharp terror, tossed it to one side.
"I'm a field tech," she said. "I can do repairs and maintenance and installation, and I heard that FN-2187 defected, and he was just a trooper. And I even brought my own food, and..."
Something popped back in the flaming transport, and the stormtrooper winced.
"FN-2187 was real, right?"
She sounds very young again.
"Please tell me he was real."
"I'm real," said Finn,
who was on his first patrol since his back healed.
"And my name's Finn now."
Her eyes widened. "You have a name?"
Finn grinned and holstered his blaster.
"Yeah, nearly 6 months now. It's great. You? Nickname? Anything?"
PL-1392, she said.
"PL-1, huh?"
said Finn, who was still learning what kinds of thing names doubled as people names.
"And you said you were a field tech? What about Pliers?"
Pliers, whose frame of reference for normal names included Hux and Kylo Ren and Captain Phasma, said,
"I love it."
The patrol leader buried her head in her hands.
"What am I going to eat, though?"
said the newly christened Pliers, looking back at the remnants of the transport ship.
"All the rations I had were in the back of that."
Finn looped an arm around her shoulders and started to pull her toward the main building.
You know, it turns out they were lying about that, and we can eat regular food.
Really? Said Pliers, who was about to discover that she was lactose intolerant.
Yeah, come on, I'll show you where they keep the ice cream around here.
The second one had sent a warning beforehand. Well, they were second through fourth, but they still sent a warning beforehand. The warning, granted, came 5 minutes before the ship in the form of a trio of white helmets and a literal olive branch tied together and dropped in the middle of a resistance training yard. But a warning was a warning. Of course, not everyone was convinced it was a sincere gesture. So when the beat-up old transport ship landed in the paved square, it was also greeted by a group of armed resistance fighters. Finn, also present, was unarmed. So were the three stormtroopers, two supporting a third between them, who came down the ramp into the humid jungle air of the current airbase. They had all stripped the highly recognizable white plating from their uniforms, and were dressed just in their undersuit blacks. None of them wore their helmets. "We're looking for the Finn," said the one on the right. "We're told he can help us." Finn waved at them from across the clearing.
"Finn's fine."
The other stormtrooper adjusted the arm over her shoulder.
"We're glad to hear it. Can you take us to him, or let him know that we're here?"
"Oh," Finn said, clarifying. "I am Finn. Just Finn is fine, though. I'm not the anything, just Finn."
"Well, we're the three of them," the one on the right introduced.
"I'm Stomp, that's Sixes."
The trooper on the far side waved.
"And this," he said, gesturing to the limp body between the two of them, "is Entine, who dropped half a Griffin TIE fighter on himself moving cargo and got slated for decommission. And we heard..."
He trailed off and looked at Finn in desperation.
"We heard that you got better after you got hurt."
Sixes continued, hope and despair warring for dominance in her voice.
"And that even though it would have been more efficient to retire you, that you recovered and are fighting again."
"We know we don't mean anything yet, but we'll fight for you," Stomp added hurriedly. "Haul boxes, run patrols, dig ditches, whatever you need us to do, please."
"Of course,"
Finn said, as though he hadn't had the exact same thought when he was unloaded in the wake of Starkiller Base.
"We'll take care of him."
Stomp and Sixes sagged in relief, or maybe just under the weight of their unconscious fellow trooper.
"Come on," said Finn. "I'll take you all to medical. Will you be staying with him until he wakes up?"
"Yes, sir,"
they said in unison. Finn wrinkled his nose.
"I think I liked the better.
I'll grab Pliers and we'll bring some food up for you. Are any of you allergic to anything?"
They shook their heads.
"Because, you know," he said authoritatively, "the stuff they fed us was sterilized. No allergens at all. Until you start trying outside food."
"Entine used to smuggle outside snacks back for us, so we've been exposed,"
Stomp said.
"He once got a whole handful of berries back, hidden in his helmet filter,"
Sixes said proudly.
"Complained about the smell for weeks, but we've even had fruit."
Finn grinned at them.
"Should I put three of them as your last name, then?"
They exchanged a look over Entine's head. Finn, who was getting better at deciphering looks as opposed to looks, said,
"You don't need a last name, but it might help the three of you stay together on base."
"Don't people usually use last names to tell people their family?"
"Or for other reasons," Finn said, with the confidence of someone who had no idea what they were talking about, but was going to fake it anyway. "I have both my friends' last names, and people take them sometimes when they get married."
"Not just to track bloodlines?"
"Not here, anyway."
Sixes hummed. Stomp scuffed the ground with one boot.
"All right, Put us all down as the three of 'ems.
Finn gestured to the still unconscious Antine.
Will he be okay with that?
Sixes and Stomp exchanged a look.
Just a look, not a look.
And smiled at each other.
If he wakes up as a three of 'em, I think he'll be better than he has been in a long time.
The third load of stormtroopers pulled gently into dock at a space station the Resistance had long been using as a refueling stop on the borderlands between the Outer Rim and the Wild Regions. General Organa regarded the transport with resignation.
You know, she said to Finn, our secret bases are only useful if they actually stay secret.
Finn shrugged.
All the active troopers I've interacted with since defecting have tried to shoot me, so it's coming from somewhere else.
She sighed as the docking locks hissed shut against the transport hull.
All right,
she called up to a half-dozen concealed fighters on the floor above.
No guns until we know they're hostile. Do not fire until I give the signal.
One of the soldiers waved, and she turned back to the docked freighter.
You know, she said to Finn in an undertone, if you had told me 30 years ago that I would have to do more diplomacy and less shooting as a general than as a princess, I would have laughed at you.
Finn looked at her out of the corner of his eye.
Really? Or I might have shot you, she conceded.
I seem to do a lot of that. Finn turned back to face the ship, alarmed by the idea that he had met the older, mellowed-out version of the Spitfire general that ran the Resistance. The ship's airlock doors, saving him from contemplating this further, obligingly slid open, and then shut just as quickly, with a pilot on the outside of them.
This is General Organa of the Resistance, said the same. State your intentions.
The pilot raised one hand and pulled his helmet off, clutching the door controls with the other.
Are the stories true? About Finn the Defector, are they true?
Yeah, said Finn, whose last names were definitely not the Defector.
I'm real.
Prove it, said the stormtrooper.
Finn paused,
cocked his head, and said,
toss me your helmet.
The stormtrooper did.
Finn caught it, flipped it over in his hands, and thumbed the worn, sweaty padding where it sat against the back of the neck.
Helmet's 2 years old?
Finn asked. The trooper by the shuttle nodded.
I remember these ones. Yours pinch as bad in the ears as mine did. Better than the ones with the straps around the forehead before this one. Oh, remember the ones you had to put on in three parts and kept slipping down your forehead into your eyes? My platoon got switched to the ones with the ridge in the back and the new eyepiece material about a week before I left. Mine still had that new plasform smell, you know? The filters never helped with that.
Finn flipped it over in his hands and looked at the polarized eyepieces.
Although, I guess maybe pilots had different rollout schedules.
He looked back up to the pilot at the door.
Unless you just hid yours because it had broken in just right and didn't want to get an upgrade that would interfere with your read on the targeting screens in your ship. The new polarization is always a little weird.
The pilot stared back at him.
You're real.
I am,
Finn affirmed.
And you were a real stormtrooper. Really a real stormtrooper.
And now I'm a real person. And so are you. The First Order can't reach you out here.
The pilot's eyes darted to the viewport of the shuttle, and back again.
You sure about that?
General Organa gave a wry smile.
We were until you showed up, with whatever you've got in that shuttle.
The pilot froze, caught against the door. The general waved her hand.
Relax, we're not going to steal it. You can probably even stay with it, whatever it was you stole from the Order. We just have to make sure it's not a threat to us first.
They're not, the pilot blurted. They're not, I promise, they're not a threat. Not to you, not to anyone anymore, please.
Friends of yours? Finn asked.
The pilot wobbled his hand, then pulled the latch on the door by his side.
Suitcase? Little ones? He called. You can come out now.
For a moment, nothing happened. And General Organa raised one terrifying, intimidating eyebrow.
Finn didn't blame whoever was in the shuttle for not coming out to face the concentrated might of that eyebrow. Never mind the guns on the roof.
One small, curly head poked out around the edge of the door, and then darted back in again.
The general's second eyebrow joined her first.
The pilot sighed and crouched by the door.
Come on, out you come.
One by one, 18 stormtrooper cadets emerged from the cargo hold. The oldest of them was maybe 7. They huddled around and behind the pilot and looked up at Finn and General Organa with wide eyes and missing teeth.
This is General Organa and Finn, the pilot said.
The General and Finn.
They chorused in unison, and before the pilot could say anything else, they clicked their heels and saluted as one. Finn heard one of the guards on the roof swear softly.
The general, being the general, was made of sterner stuff and did not react. She did, however, cross the walkway to the ramp of the shuttle and crouch down to their level.
Well, she said, CKs, how about we all find you some beds for tonight, and in the morning you can all pick what you want for breakfast.
The kids, after looking briefly up to the pilot for confirmation, nodded solemnly at her. General Organa grinned back at them before turning back to the soldiers on the roof.
All clear, she called. Have Dr. Kahn meet me in the empty barracks and send someone down with blankets.
A resistance soldier Finn didn't recognize saluted, and the group on the roof behind them began to move, revealing themselves for the first time to the group of defectors. The pilot's eyes widened.
Sorry, Finn said, as General Organa led the children in from the landing area. Had to make sure you were real about it.
The pilot scrubbed a hand through his hair, then tore off his gauntlets and used both hands, rubbing them back and forth over his entire scalp.
You want a round in the fresher before you get back to the kids?
Finn asked.
I really do. Come on, I'll show you around,
Finn said.
Hey, you have a name yet?
The pilot looked at the small horde of children following General Organa. They were marching in step, but not in line, trailing behind her like a cape.
I sort of want to be Dad.
Finn clapped him on the shoulder.
Welcome aboard, Dad.
The fourth load sent an actual hailing message before landing. Transmitted across official resistance channels, it read, 16 defectors, 1800 hours, followed by ship number and coordinates of a landing pad that the resistance used to smuggle supplies in and out of neutral space.
What do you think?
Finn said.
I think I want to know how they keep finding our operating bases, said General Organa, already organizing a patrol to accompany them the next night.
Seriously, it's becoming a problem.
The ship landed right on time the next day, exactly where it promised to, settling gently on the rocky outcropping the resistance used as a temporary landing platform.
I wonder if I can get them to train my gunrunners, the general said.
Finn shrugged.
The ship, an old cargo freighter, lowered its off-ramp. 15 troopers marched out, hands above their heads, and lined up in front of them in 3 neat rows of 5. Not one of them was wearing their helmet. Their captain followed, wearing the red pauldrons of office, but no other armor over her blacks. She turned to Finn.
Finn Dameron Skywalker?
That's me, said Finn Dameron Skywalker.
General Organa?
The general nodded.
And you are?
The captain saluted.
Cap, I lead this unit.
She pointed to each trooper behind her.
James, Jess, Jills, Jesse, Jax, Jeremy's, Jers, Jace, Jocks, Jads, Ralph, Jules, Jims, Jackies, and Jens.
Ralph? Finn asked.
I threw up inside my helmet when we took off, Ralph explained. I couldn't get the air sickness meds before we left. It would have been too much of a giveaway.
Plus, we were running out of Jay's names, one of the other troopers, Jers, piped up.
And Ralph already had one, so.
Huh, Finn said.
General Organa, Cap continued. We come with information on First Order activity and to offer our services to the Resistance and to assist in the liberation of other trooper units.
Happy to have you aboard.
Finn Dameron Skywalker, Cap said, turning to him.
Me?
Said Finn Dameron Skywalker. We would request something of you.
Yeah, of course. What is it?
Cap hesitated and chewed on her lip, just for a moment. Under a helmet, it would have been completely invisible. Seeing what was clearly developed as a hidden coping mechanism on display for a group of strangers and her entire unit felt oddly intimate.
We request your permission to use Finn as our second name.
Cap Finn,
Finn said, holding out a hand to shake and grinning so widely it felt like his face would split open.
Welcome to the Resistance. The end.
Author's notes. With credit to this Tumblr post, tinyurl.com/HVHNKYG, and the fic The Story of Finn, archiveofourown.org/works/5594782,
both of which are fantastic.
Also, that post I can't find, which calls Rey a feral desert child who doesn't know any better, and discusses the new trio adopting each other's last names, because I live for crap like that. The stealing each other's family names Tumblr post can be found at tinyurl.com/JYFJX8V. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded for Elaine of Shalott because celebration, exciting things, everything is wonderful and your life is fantastic. I hope this brings just as much of a smile to your face as the day has been stressful, so equal amounts of stress and now smiles to make up for it. Because Finn, savior of stormtroopers, is fantastic and the world needs more of it. Everybody else, I hope you enjoyed it as well. Feel free to talk all about Finn and his, you know, rebellious ways in the comments with me. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.